Mike Conti on the call. Franco Escobar with the second goal that sealed the deal last night. Atlanta United 2-0 winners over the Portland Timbers, and we are MLS Cup champions. Welcome in to the second hour of the Celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 9 o'clock this morning, getting more into this celebration of being champions, something that's different for our city, something that's unique for our city, something that we have longed for so many years, 23 years since the last time we had a Major League Sports Championship in our city, and it is here. It is here now. It happened. It happened last night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium before a record crowd, 73,000-plus in the house to witness history last night in Atlanta, as in just their second year of existence, Atlanta United comes through with the championship. A celebration is set for tomorrow, big parade downtown. It will start from the SunTrust Plaza, which is at the corner of intersection of Baker and Peachtree. We'll proceed there going west on Baker, all the way down past the aquarium, past the World of Coke, down to Marietta Street. We'll go left there and go back east past the College Football Hall of Fame, and there the Omni Hotel, the International Andrew Young International Boulevard. We'll go right and go up toward the Georgia World Congress Center and into the Home Depot backyard there adjacent to the stadium. That a ceremony and celebration will take place at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So while it'll be rainy along the route when we get to the celebration and everyone doing the speeches and the acknowledgments, it'll be dry inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That is the plan for tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. If you got business in that part of town, I don't think you'd be having very much business tomorrow. And that is understandable. We're going to get ready to have something that we don't get to do very often. And like this parade route, we were trying to figure out, Greg and I were trying to figure out what was the parade route for the Braves in 95. And I believe it was just north on Peachtree all the way up to either 10th or 14th. And then they made the right turn and went into Piedmont Park. I'm thinking that's what it was. If you were there and you recall, help me out with this, will you? 404-741-0929. Also want to hear from people who were at the Benz last night. 404-741-0929. And how did it make you feel to be there and witness history? Something that a lot of people felt like we can't do. Something people have felt for a long time that we shouldn't do because we're Atlanta. Maybe they just hate on us because we got nice climate and weather's usually nice down here. We got nice facilities and we live a nice, you know, quality of life. And maybe they figure, okay, you have all those things. You guys shouldn't win sports championships too. Well, you know what? We got a championship. We got our championship. We got it last night, and we're celebrating it this morning, the Atlanta United. And we're happy to do that here at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the home of Atlanta United, and thrilled about that, about the partnership with our station and with the MLS club. Greg, you've been working.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I know you're busy
over here.
I know you're busy over there, man.
They don't like us because we got TV shows you can go watch and sit on your behind and get paid. We got movie stars here. We got an airport that gets you anywhere on the planet.
How about
this
that?
Is a bad day to talk about weather, though.
Yeah.
But we normally got really good weather.
We normally do.
We got gorgeous ladies that live in this town.
All over the place.
We got good-looking men that live in this town.
Yeah.
We got nightlife. We got places for the kids to go hang out.
We do. How about that?
Man, we got. I can keep going.
And now we got a championship.
That's right.
And people think because we have all those other things that maybe we shouldn't win, you know, championships with our major league sports teams. But I think that's wrong. And I think this is the tip of the iceberg. I think this is a game changer, so to speak, that tips things in a different direction because we have some other teams who have the makings of doing the same thing.
Yeah, they don't have us.
You know, that's,
they don't have Shaq. They don't got Krispy. They ain't got the lights on.
They don't have the lights on over the Krispy Kreme on punts, man. Oh, my goodness.
You think they replace the light and put a little Atlanta United sign up there?
They may put something up there, something special for Atlanta United, special tribute. Lights are on all day today. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
It was. You know what? It's funny, though. One of the things you heard last night repeatedly from the networks, national and local, that were outside. Now, the rain helped this, but there was no craziness in the streets.
Yeah.
And if it was, it was in pockets.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, nobody like climbing up and hanging off the phone poles. And again,
yeah,
the weather had a lot to do with that, too.
A lot to do with that.
But there's been inclement weather at football celebrations. You know that's happened all the time.
Right.
And them folks don't care. So I think that's a testament to, again, the fan base of a soccer team as opposed to football or baseball or basketball. And I think this was more – I saw a lot of little kids.
Right.
A lot of little kids, which you don't see at the other events.
As much.
As much.
But they were there last night in good number. And right, that's been a big way this whole program has been marketed as great things for the family to enjoy and to experience. And they're doing that. It's great to see the number of children who were there last night. They've been following this team all along. And it's been great to see them grow up with a winning tradition now that they have, hey, you know what? Maybe the other folks didn't win, but we are following up a team that's only been here for 2 years and has already produced a championship for the city of Atlanta. It was great to see that. It was great for me. And you know, someone who's followed the sports scene here and came to a first major league sporting event here in this town, when the Braves came to town in 1966, and my family hadn't moved here yet, we had a chance to come in and see the Braves and Dodgers play. And since that time, you know, always kept an eye out on the sports scene here and always followed and been a fan of the professional sports and major league sports here in this city. And my family moves here in the mid-70s, and I get a chance to go and observe it up close and personal, and the way the teams were playing at the time suffer closer because of the teams weren't playing very well during those years. But, you know, it's your team. It's your home team. It's you know, it's what I wanted. You want to support. You want to be a fan of your home team. And that's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be one of those people who lived here and was a fan of a team someplace else. I couldn't
hate those people. Can't stand them.
You know, I won't say I can't say I hate them.
You just gonna get on me?
No. Well, you know what? And I mentioned my first time coming to a Braves game, and that was '66. That's Braves and Dodgers. And the man who drove us over here was a neighbor across the street, and he was an older gentleman, you know, in black. And so, folks of that generation rooted for the Dodgers, regardless, because of Jackie Robinson. You know, they were going to be Dodgers fans because they were the first team to allow.
You know, it's funny you say that. Right. My father, a lot of black folks.
Yeah.
Unless you lived in a town that only had an American League team, like Cleveland, places like that, you follow the American League. But most of them in their generation followed the National League.
Yeah.
Because of Jackie, and then by extension, the Latin players that were coming in all seemed to land in the National League.
Right. They sure did. And so I'm right and wrong with them, and I'm like, I've been following the Braves. I wanted to cheer for the Braves because they were the team closest to my hometown. You know, but they were all pulling for the Dodgers for that reason. So, I mean, you have your different reasons for following your team and having your alliances or whatever. But for someone who's followed Atlanta sports and has wanted to see success for Atlanta sports for as long as I can remember, as long as they've had Major League Sports in this town, being there last night to be a part of it and to witness it, was something truly, truly special and something that, you know, something that I don't plan to forget and still want to experience even more of it tomorrow when the celebration takes place downtown. Once again, that's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for the parade for Atlanta United.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Another thing about this, because you and I, again, we have a different perspective, and the other hosts that are going to be here today will come at this from a different angle. Did you feel a little weird last night when you – I mean, not – weird. I don't even know what word to say, but I felt different. I felt like I should have been more excited. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to say something that a lot of men out there, well, men and women, may feel. This was the first championship in a town I lived in.
Yeah.
Of a sport that I didn't play that much coming up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I mean? So yeah, I didn't have that lifelong connection to it. And there's a lot of people out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a disconnect. It's just I didn't come home.
There are some people who watched it last night for the first time on TV because of what was at stake. There were some people who came out last night and watched it. I talked with several people. That was their first time actually seeing it. They got tickets from somebody somewhere, and they ended up being there last night. So there are a lot of people, you know, you would say they're late to the party, whatever you want to say, but because of what this team is doing, and because of the impact. And I think it was one of those things, I mean, we had a chance to go together and experience. Once you go and see it and feel it, you get it.
But there's still that disconnect for, you know, the fan base. Now, again, there's that special group that have, you know, their connection to the sport through their kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but if you played sports growing up and you are of a certain age, You know, you might have felt kind of like, I should be more excited than I was last night. I was excited, but I wasn't Braves excited. I wasn't Cubs excited. I wasn't, you know, the teams that I wasn't, you know, LeBron excited.
Yeah. Well, because of, I guess, sports that you may have participated in.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. This is the first one in my life.
Yeah, right. And in this area, in this state, it wasn't available. Well, a lot of people in our age group, but it wasn't even in my high school. We didn't have a soccer team.
That's just unique.
And there are some schools, there are some high schools in this state, down in other parts of the state, that don't play soccer.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, they're not experienced. It's not every high school in this state does not have a soccer team.
You didn't feel like you should be a little bit more, because you were busy working on it. That was different.
No, man, I'm excited, and I just took some time when everyone is done with the celebration on the field. I took some time and just walked around on the field.
See, now that would have been cool.
And just took it in. Yeah. And to me, that was the thing that meant the most to me, is being able to walk on the field and see it and feel it, how people reacted to it. That's the moment that I wanted to keep from it. So, this is special stuff. This is special stuff.
Oh, it is. It's all of that. Again, yeah. I just had that. There was just a little different. You know, like What's-His-Face says in Pulp Fiction, Europe got everything we got, but it's just a little different. They put mayonnaise on French fries. You know, that kind of thing. Anyway.
Oh, it's a championship celebration. We hope to be joined next by John. If we can wake him up and send him some coffee over. We'll see if we can't send Juan Valdez to shake him up and give him a cup of Joe and he gets a chance to talk to us. That's coming up next. You stay with us here on this celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you from the Kia Studios, 9 floors up, Midtown Atlanta. On a championship celebration Sunday morning. So glad you're with us up until 9 o'clock. We celebrate the 5 stripes. We celebrate the MLS Cup champion. And the cup gets to stay here. From someone who was there the day over at Ventana's when the team was announced and they had the big ceremony with Arthur Blank to announce that Atlanta was going to receive an MLS franchise. The MLS Cup was there that day. But when it was done, the MLS Cup left. Well, now it's here. And it's going to stay because of the victory last night over the Portland Timbers. A guy who was in the house and is around a lot, spent a lot of time at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night, this few days. John Nelson joins us now at waitingfor.com hotline. First of all, I appreciate you getting up. And like I said, the coffee is on the way because you guys just went off the air.
Dude, I'm going back to bed after this segment's over. Juan Valdez doesn't even need to come by this morning unless he's just going to drop it on the front stoop, turn around, and hit the next stop.
John, put it into words, you know, what this means for the city. For those of you who don't know, John is involved. We know we talk with him a lot with GBB Sports and obviously with high school football and in high school athletics in general, but also involved with Atlanta United 2. The team that has been playing up in Gwinnett this year, and he's been involved with the players play-by-play with some of the youth and the future players that we're going to get to see with the team. But talk about the experience last night and what you felt.
Well, you know, when I was talking on air with Mike and Jason about it, you know, you talk about how loud buildings can get. And I went back to 1994. And I'm trying to see if I can find it on my train track of hats that I have here in the office. And there's one of them, and I'm sure the other one's pretty close behind it. But I'm staring at a hat that has a word on it, and the word is Knights.
Yeah.
And back in 94, when the Knights were playing the Fort Wayne Comets for the Turner Cup, the International Hockey League, the IHL Championship. I was ice level at the Omni, and it was the loudest that building was for anything when Atlanta won a championship. And for those who remember Marquise Grissom running under a ball in center field and then raising his hands after he caught it, it was one of those kind of moments. But you have to give credit to the 17s who were loud from the beginning yesterday. The TIFO was amazing. And they kept getting louder and louder and louder and didn't stop. And when the match finally was at full time, it reached another level. So, I mean, I don't know how you really can explain loudness and then amplified because of all of the emotion that was attached to it. For a city that has waited so long for a champion, for a fan base who has been behind every single move from the absolute beginning, for it to happen this quickly for the most inclusive group of fans that you will ever see. And I'm talking someone who has been a founding member or someone who just realized, hey, I think this is really cool. I think I'll go. And it doesn't matter. You know, if you're new to it, the fans who've been there from the beginning, the fans who know the sport are like, come on in. You know, water's fine. Come on in. We'll help you with questions, help you learn anything you want to know about what's going on. And that, to me, is the coolest aspect of all of this. Darren Ailes, Carlos Bocanegra, Arthur Blank, Tata Martino, from the beginning, they wanted this to be a regional brand, an international brand. And for something like this to happen, for a lot of locals, it means a lot. For the transplants, they got to hook up their wagon to something from the absolute beginning, so it's theirs as well. So you have all of these levels of attachment, and to see the pride on the guys who've invested everything over the last 2 years, it's just been a really cool run that is just beginning.
Yep, it is, and we feel like there's more to come. Spending time on the waitfor.com outline this morning with John Nelson. You can follow him on Twitter at OSG Nelson. He's a busy man on the move these days. John, talk about nationally, because the national media always pounds on Atlanta teams. And, yeah, you know, like Atlanta, you can't win because you're Atlanta. You're not supposed to win because you're Atlanta. And the fact that this team is really reshaping the way a lot of people think soccer can be treated in other cities, we're raising the bar, and we're just getting started.
Well, and the thing about Atlanta United is last night / this morning, for those who haven't gone to bed.
There are many.
There are many, trust me. The Waffle Houses and other 24-hour eating establishments have been full, and folks, I saw one tweet this morning that basically said in all caps, "What is sleep?" And I don't think that folks will be experiencing that until after the parade, and then folks are going to collapse probably Monday afternoon. But what Atlanta United have done as an organization is tell MLS as a group, you know, follow or get left behind. And Arthur Blank has challenged the other owners in the league. It's like, you know, we can do things a certain way to elevate the game in the country, to elevate the sport here in the country, and to elevate the standing of MLS around the world. And, you know, right now you're talking about a league that is, it's top five internationally. And when you can bring in a Tata Martino, when you can bring in players like a Joseph Martinez and a Miguel Almiron and a Leandro Gonzalez Pires, and have that South American flair attached to the American way of doing things, when you have a Brad Guzan in net, when you have a Jeff Lorenowitz and a Michael Parkhurst who are here as that American experience, and you throw all of this together, and you can draft a guy like a Julian Gressel, you can bring in an experienced guy like a Greg Garza, and I could probably go for another 40 minutes and talk about each and every guy, but you bring in Eric Rometty mid-season, who was an absolute rock in the midfield. Darlington Nagbe from Portland.
You're right.
And you could tell the guys wanted to get him engaged early on offensively, which I thought was pretty cool. It is, you know, you want your hand, you know, we're reaching out our hand to the rest of MLS. You want to hang on to us? You're going to get left behind if you don't.
And that's something I think as we get, you know, we want to get deep into the business side of it, but the business side of it starts here in less than 2 hours. And send this team, some faces are going to change with the team, and obviously that things happen.
But the half-day trade window starts at 9 o'clock.
How about that?
I know.
How about that?
9
you know?
To 1. It's like, yeah, okay, all right. So
these guys haven't had a parade yet.
Yeah, no, parade is Monday,
yeah.
And everyone dress warmly and layer up, because it's apparently supposed to be pretty messy, but it's cool, and it's going to be downtown, like around the aquarium, and finishing up right in front of the place where we're going to have the future statue of Joseph Martinez, and apparently the Falcon the Falcon out front already has a championship scarf around it.
Nice. We talked about the team, and like I said, some changing faces, but because of the way we're doing soccer here, this is going to become a destination with some of the top players, John. And to me, that's the thing that gets me excited. It makes us feel like this is just the first of many celebrations like this we're going to have.
Yeah, Michael Parker said on the full-time report last night with Mike and Jason that players want to come here because they see how Arthur Blank invested from the absolute beginning, and I'm not just talking with elbow grease. And it's a combination of the elbow grease and the finances, because you go to the Children's Health Care of Atlanta training ground, class across the board. You know, the way you treat your players and the way you treat their families and the way you treat your fans and all of these ideas wrapped up in one, you know, players, this is now a destination in MLS, and it's becoming a destination internationally for players who want to learn from the best, be treated fantastically, and then eventually, you know, after a couple of years here, work their way over to the European theater. And you get to see, you know, how do you want to improve yourself? You can now come to MLS and do it. I mean, there's a lot of talk, obviously, of Miguel Almiron and that last night possibly being his last game with Atlanta United. So we'll see. But you know, it's now a destination for players who, A, want to come and further their career, and then, B, want to further their career and do so overseas as the next step in the process. And it's rare that MLS has been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a Zach Steffen in Columbus. But, you know, right now, this is Atlanta is a destination for multiple reasons.
It is. It is. Spending time and wrap things up here with John Nelson. We got to go back. You know, after the celebration tomorrow, they're going to have more confetti. They sweep that confetti out, and they got football to be played on Tuesday morning. Quickly, just some thoughts about what's coming up for the next on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Got to catch up with all the coaches over the last couple of days for GPB and the broadcast, and you're going to be a part of it, and I'm going to be a part of it, and it's going to be, you know, 8 games and like 34 hours or something like that. And then I think Thursday I'm turning off my phone. But yeah, no Juan Valdez on Thursday, Sam.
I'm gonna
outlaw Juan Valdez on Thursday.
I hear you.
To be able to catch up with all the coaches and get all the stories and see what it means to these coaches and these communities to come to the last game of the year and to be at Mercedes-Benz to do it. You know, you think of a Rockmart, you think of a Heard County, you think of all the schools in the 229 and the 478 that are going to be there. Think of a Colquitt County who's chasing after a national title. There's a lot of great storylines, a lot of great athletes, because this is a number three state in the U.S. for athletes when it comes to high school football. So it will start at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning, and we get to catch our breath a little bit after probably about 11 o'clock. Go to our respective corners, come back out fighting about 8 a.m. when we show up, and then we're back at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, go for another 13 hours, and then turn around and try to figure out where our breadcrumbs are to figure out where we can go home.
But it's a fun time, and you look forward to it,
yes,
and
right
around the state does. John, thanks so much for spending some time, man. Go and get you some sleep, recharge the batteries, and moving on. We got a busy week ahead, but thanks so much for the time this morning.
You ain't lying, brother. Will do.
All right. That's John Nelson once again. Follow on Twitter at OSG Nelson. Back with more about Celebration Sunday morning after this timeout on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. What a moment in the match. Goose comes through with a big save. Prevents Portland from getting an equalizer on the way to the victory and winning the MLS Cup. As we welcome you back into a Celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 9 a.m. and so glad you're with us. Hope you're warm and safe. If you happen to get out this morning and move around, there's a lot of rain going on. There's some places where it might have some water standing on the roadways. So do be careful. Give yourself some extra time to go if you're getting out this morning. If you work late and you're headed for home, if you're headed out to morning services this morning, please be careful as you go. And thanks for taking 92.9 The Game along with you on your ride. Thanks a lot for doing that. I've been talking Atlanta United all morning long and about the celebrations taking place tomorrow. 10 a.m., we're going to have a parade, folks. We're going to have a parade in downtown Atlanta. It's been 23 years since we've had one, and I'm still not sure about the route of the last one. Where people, you know, I think it went up Peachtree Street when the Braves won in 95. I think that's what I know from the video that I remember seeing and the film that I see in some of the Driven X episodes on Fox Sports South. It went north on Peachtree, and I guess I'm guessing that it went as far as maybe 10th Street or 14th Street and then went east into Piedmont Park. I'm thinking, if you can help me out with that, if you were there, if you remember the Braves victory parade in 95, 404-741-0929. I also want to hear from you if you were at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night and how it made you feel. Or if you weren't there, maybe you're just at home watching on TV and you followed the sports scene here in Atlanta for a very long time, and maybe we've heard the national media tell us for so long that it can't happen in Atlanta that maybe we all just kind of feel that way, that the wheels are bound to fall off simply because the team has Atlanta on the front of its jersey or its sweater. Not so. Not anymore, anyway. It happened last night. So I'd love to hear from you, too. 404-741-0929, just to hear from you, talk with you. Remember, you can follow us on all of our different platforms of social media, on Twitter at 929TheGame. Facebook at 929 The Game and Instagram at 929 The Game. And of course, don't forget to check our website. You will be seeing so much more on this victory, so much more information, so many more interviews, so many more stories about Atlanta United, as we are your home for Atlanta United, Sports Radio 929 The Game. And we're very proud to be associated with this team, and it's been a joy.
It sounded like it a minute ago. You know, all puffed up there, man.
What's that?
Chest all puffed out there, man, the way you said that. I'm just saying, you know, you scared some folks.
No, you scared anybody,
got all,
man.
Well, you know what, though?
Like I said, this goes back to the last time we talked in the last segment. After everything had kind of wound down and having a chance to just walk around on the field after it was over at the end of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, man, I walked around and, you know, you get a little emotional if you've been attached to sports in this town and you know the teams have come close and it's been, you know, drawn back in one way or another. And just to know that you followed pro sports in this town since the time you can remember there being pro sports in this town. And moments like this have been rare. They've been precious and few, as the old song said. Who made that song? Classics 4, is that right?
Control of the Board stays with Mr. Crenshaw.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know. I'm going to give it to you, though. One of the things that you have not touched on as much as far as what the players wanting to play here is that building.
Absolutely.
The building.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all they talked about last night. Again, you were there. I watched it on TV, and one of the things that everybody talked about was this crowd size. They don't see this kind of crowd size nowhere else.
No.
Even when these boys go out to Yankee Stadium
and
play those games.
No.
Not like the Benz.
No.
So just another reason why free agency, it's funny, though, too. You know, you would think the same thing would apply for the Falcons. You don't hear that conversation as universally broadcasted as you do, at least in the few years that the Atlanta United has been here, as far as players wanting to come here. Now,
you got something to really compare with. This is just rare in the United States for soccer. Now, you get some bigger stadiums when you go to Europe, you know, but
exactly.
And not all of those are bigger than this, but to have this in the United States, that's an eye opener for a lot of players who want to be a part of this. And I think this place is just going to be a magnet for more players like Miguel Almiron, who are, like, you know, sharpening their game so that they can go and play in the European leagues.
Listen, Arthur Blank didn't just get here yesterday. One of the other things that is a reason why, and it's attractive to players too, is it's a whole lot easier for players who aren't American on Atlanta United as opposed to Portland to get back to Venezuela, to their homeland, and moreover, to get their families here if they can. It's a whole lot easier getting them into Hartsfield than, I don't even know the name of the airport in Portland.
Right.
Or some of the other, Columbus, or wherever the other ones are. So that's another reason why.
That's a big advantage. A big advantage is the airport, and players been able to get back home, like you said, have families come here. But also the makeup of our community. And like I said, that goes back to 96 once again. And Greg, you and I have talked about the legacy of 96 and what happened here with the Olympics and this becoming a major international city, just not a major southern city, not just a major American city, but a major international city. And so those players do feel at home when they come here. And a player like a Joseph Martinez comes here and the fans take to him. He becomes attached to this city and this community and just has a love affair with it. And when he goes out and as a part of what he did last night and what he's done all season, really, you know, that thing just is solidifies it. Other players see it. They want to be a part of it. They want to touch it. They want to be a part of what's happening here in Atlanta. So I'm looking forward to what happens, you know, in the future. And once again, it's a big tribute to Arthur Blank, And, you know, we talked about him some this morning. I don't think we can talk about him enough. The fact that he wants to be that owner, he wants to be that guy that brings the championship to this city. That's been something he's been dedicated to, and doing it the right way and doing it in a way that's going to be sustained over a period of time.
I know it's been discussed before, but as I was watching him last night, the one thing that I could not stop grinning at is we talk about him as a businessman and all the things he's done, but the one of the things that just kept coming to my mind is how smart is he to have both of his organizations have the same color scheme so he ain't got to go out and buy new suits.
No. Hey, you know
he got himself a closet full of red and black, and that's all he needs,
He's coordinated.
He's good. He's coordinated. Yeah, he's coordinating.
He's got to coordinate. It's good. It was good to talk with him for a while after the match yesterday. And let's think about this man and the way he's invested in sports in this town and the disappointments. The disappointment, really, you know, the things are not going the way we thought they would go for the Falcons this season. The disappointment of getting to the Super Bowl and being so close and having it pull back away from you. The idea of having this player that's so revered, this player that made everybody watch what was happening in Atlanta in a Michael Vick, and have him taken away and incarcerated, and having the coach at that time tack a note up to the bulletin board and jet out of town. Those are the things that have happened since he's been an owner of professional sports in town.
By the way, you can see his resume online. He's looking for a job.
Yeah, he is. And how about that? Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. But I'm saying those are the things that Arthur Blank has gone through during his time. And that's why you feel good, you know, for him. Because he said, you know, he's going to do what, and spare no expense to bring the very best to provide for the city that he loves. And so I was very, very happy for him last night, especially. And you talk with him about it, he'll deflect it and talk about, you know, he gets his satisfaction from seeing the fans enjoying themselves. Customer service. How about that? Applying the same principle you apply when you go to this place with the orange aprons. And he's done it for pro sports, and it works. It really does. So salute to Arthur Blank once again for helping deliver this championship, this very, very special moment to our city. All right, headed for the top of the hour now, in the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do on Sunday mornings. We will hear from Dan Quinn, his conversation this week with John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. That's coming up at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Mike Conte, we can shake him and wake him. He's going to join us. What a night he's had, and what a season he's had with Atlanta United. You will hear from the voice of Atlanta United coming up the next hour. You want to stay with us. But up next, chance to get some cash in your pocket. Call it a casting call on a celebration Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And 92.9thegame.com.